Good evening, folks. Dice Roll Zine Ramblecast, episode 14, Friday, December 14th, 2018. Tonight on the Ramblecast, we have my RPG Week in Review, a 2-minute review from 1985, and customizing the shit out of that fucking cleric. Oh, yeah. Gather round, strange, intrepid adventurers with very shiny swords and strange-looking wands. I am Gflukliflfmurlid, from the bizarre land of far-off, away places and unpronounceable in your language. I am here to tell you tales of strange, seductive priestesses. Wait a second. Story time. Doesn't that Screed guy do that shit? That blabbermouth, like 100 fucking episodes or some shit like that? Fuck. So I had 2 games scheduled this week to play. The first game for Tuesday night is my regular Tuesday night home game, BX Gloomberg. Unfortunately, I wasn't feeling too well on Tuesday night, so I kind of bailed on my regular players. My son was sick last week, my infant son, and unfortunately I was kind of feeling crappy on the weekend and then still lingered in the week, so I kind of bailed. You can probably hear a little bit of it in my voice still. But we rescheduled for Wednesday night. I was hoping I'd feel better, and I did feel better on Wednesday night. And then, unfortunately, one of my players had one of my 2 players. This is a very small group. It's 2 longtime buddies. We've been playing since Christ was a carpenter. Sorry, religious people. I don't mean to offend you there. But one of my buddies had to pick up a shift on Wednesday night at his work, so he could not play. So we decided to postpone until next week. Unfortunately, BX Gloomberg is that campaign. I should probably describe that in a podcast or something. Maybe I don't know. It's a different campaign for me. It's something I haven't really done before. I'm kind of making it up as I go, which maybe you know a lot of you out there in the old school Renaissance actually do quite a bit. I tend to have a fairly detailed framework. I shouldn't say fairly detailed. Maybe that's coming across the wrong way. I have a pretty good outline of what I like to do for a campaign, and I have usually write a bunch of stuff for the area of the campaign. But I'm not doing that for this campaign. For this one, I drew a map. Ages ago, I decided, you know what, I'm going to use this fucking map for something. So I'm taking the map, and as we adventure along, kind of each week or every week or so, I'm just kind of picking I'm gonna run next, and I'm using my D30 Sandbox Companion, which I did in the review last week. For those of you paying attention, it's an awesome book. Get it, New Big Dragon Games. I'm using my D30 Sandbox Companion as well as stuff I decide to pick and throw in there. It's really an off the cuff, random thing, pretty much every week. I mean, I do have a little bit of a backstory and concept of how magic and sorcery and some of the supernatural stuff works in this area. But other than that, there's not really any meta plot. I'm using Knights of Corvindark right now, a module from Glenseal of Monkey Blood Design. Of course, most famous for the Midderlands and the Midderzine and everything Gloomium coming from England, and Glenn is fucking cool, so you should check that out. But but I'm digressing a little bit. But yeah, so this is really the first time I've done a campaign where I'm just going with it and not really planning anything and just seeing what happens week to week. So that's my regular Tuesday night game, and it's 2 weeks now that we've missed, so we're kind of itching to get back to that. And then on Thursday night, I had a game scheduled for, it's actually Matt Jackson's campaign. He's kind of doing this Barrow Mounds thing, sort of loosely based on Barrow Maze, and he wasn't able to DM his usual duties. This is the Prolg Parlayers. So I talked about this group last week. We've got Tim Shorts, and we've got Matt Jackson, of course, the DM, and we've got the new guy, Mark Hunt, and we've got Jason Hobbs, who plays, although I'm not sure if he's playing much, and he hasn't played for a while, so I don't know. And then we've also got Brian Meadows, and we have Will Arnold, and we have Alex Bertolucci. I think, I'm sorry, Alex, if I'm butchering your name, dude. Alex lives in Montreal, so he's a fellow Canadian, and he and I go at each other about the Leafs and the Habs every now and then. But so fuck the Habs, Alex. Anyway, so we play on Thursday nights in Matt's game. And Matt couldn't play. He had some family obligations. He had to go pick up one of his daughters because she's home from college. So I filled in, and I'll do that occasionally. And so Tim and Mark were the only dudes available. So I ran a Barrow, which I designed. Matt did the map for it, and I kind of populated it. So I ran the boys through that last night. Well, part of the way through it, anyway. They spent a whole lot of time doing this complex construction project and smoking out tactic thing at the beginning of the adventure, which took up a lot of time and was really, but it was actually pretty cool. I mean, they're really clever about it, and but yeah, it was very fucking old school. So we played that game last night, and we didn't get to through all the way through it, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, so those are my two games this week. I should probably go into more detail about the game with Tim and Mark. Well, I mean, I've already got a bit of a description up on MeWe, so if anybody listening is on MeWe, you can go to the Expedition to the Barrow Mounds group, although I think it's an invite only, so maybe I'm just talking out of my ass and don't pay attention to me right now. But I'm sure I'll go into detail about this group or the adventures at a later date. Anyway, I'm up over 6.5 minutes already for this segment, so we're fucking cutting her now. Dice Roll Zine Ramblecast.
2 minute reviews.
Creatures and Treasures for Rollmaster. This was put out in 1985, I believe. The cover's got this Medusa coming out of these double doors with this very ornate frame with serpents on it and a minotaur and a hippogriff and a warrior climbing the steps. It's a really cool cover. I really, really enjoyed Creatures and Treasures because it gave me a whole bunch of different options for monsters. The descriptions aren't super long, they're really tight, so it doesn't take up a lot of space. I mean, the whole book is 96 pages, and that's monsters and the treasures. I mean, the monster descriptions are great. I really don't like long-winded monster descriptions. I like the nuts and bolts kind of stuff, and tell me what it does and what it looks like, and that's good enough for me. I don't need to know a lot about the ecology and all of that realistic type crap. Some people really dig it, and that's cool, but I don't really want that. I just want a description of the monster, what it does. My particular favorites were the elementals and the artificial beings, shards and warders and golems and just different things like that. There's Demons of the Void, which were super cool. Demons of Might and Demons from the Pale. Really cool, different types of monsters that you didn't really find in Dungeons & Dragons. I mean, some of them were, but just really a different take, kind of a Rolemaster take on them. Now, and there was a neat section on the undead. I mean, it looks like there's 20, 30 different undead in here. Just different types of skeletons and different types of vampires and different types of whites and all kinds of... The way Rolemaster kind of divided everything up. Barrow whites and corpse candles and fire phantoms and ghost wolves and skeleton jokers and, you know, cool stuff like that. I mean, the monsters were just cool in here. I mean, it wasn't greatly illustrated by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, the illustrations are serviceable, but nothing that, you know, really cool like some of the AD&D stuff. But in addition to the monsters in here, probably my favorite part, the treasure part. I mean, there's so many tables to roll on and roll on in this book for treasures. I mean, you've got all kinds of different stuff, composition, the relative richness, the capabilities of magic items, if you want to generate kind of like your own unique stuff. Monies, gems, and jewelry, and spell levels, and adders, and all kinds of weapons, sword tables, armor tables, spell device tables, miscellaneous magic items. And then the descriptions, again, really, really tight. Not super long, not a whole lot of detail. It's just perfect.
Creatures and Treasures by Iron Crown Enterprises for Rolemaster. 3 metal horns out of 4.
Fucking metal!
And the Lord spake, saying, First shalt thou take out the holy pin, then shalt thou count to 3. No more, no less. 3 shall be the number thou shalt count, and the number of the counting shall be 3. 4 shalt thou not count, neither count thou 2, excepting that thou then proceed to 3. 5 is right out. Once the number 3, being the third number, be reached, then lobbest thou thy holy hand grenade of Antioch towards thy foe, who, being naught in my sight, shall snuff it?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Right. 1, 2, 5.
Please, sir.
3.
So, customizing the cleric. Do any of you folks like to customize your clerics? The first time I was exposed to the specific gods and custom abilities and stuff for clerics was from the Forgotten Realms Adventures book by Jeff Grubb and Ed Greenwood. Now, I'm assuming this was probably based on some material from Dragon Magazine. Now, I don't have those Dragon Magazines. Actually, I have very few Dragon Magazines that I've kept from over the years. Maybe I'll do a podcast on that one time. But at any rate, I'm digressing. What do you guys think of having the customized cleric? Do you like this sort of generic hammer horror pseudo Christian cleric of original Dungeons and Dragons, turning undead and casting spells and, you know, kind of against evils type of thing? No edged weapons, that kind of stuff. Do you like that generic kind of cleric, or do you like having a variety of abilities and powers for your clerics based on the different deities in your campaign world? I mean, obviously you had a million and one different gods in the Forgotten Realms, Helm and Sylvanus and Gond and Soon and Umberly, all of the different gods and deities from the Forgotten Realms. The interesting thing that they do with the clerics is turn them into individual classes, really. I mean, you could call it a subclass, I suppose. But really, I mean, they list them out. They talk about the gods. I'm just going to open a page here, and we got Saloon, Our Lady of Silver, for example. She's a lesser power of Gladsheim, chaotic good. Her portfolio is moon, stars, and navigation. The requirements to become a cleric of Saloon, specialty priest of Saloon. is Wisdom 14 and Constitution 12. The weapons allowed are all bludgeoning weapons, with the preferred weapon being a smooth-headed mace called the Moon's Hand. The Moon's Hand has identical stats to a standard mace, but if wielded by a specialty priest of Saloon, strikes with a +1 to hit and damage. The armor allowed is any type of armor. And this is where they started to get funky with it, were the major and minor spheres, the different types of spells that they would be allowed access to. Now, if I remember, major spheres were unlimited in terms of spell level, and minor spheres were limited to first and second, maybe third level or something like that. And then they had individual details for magic items allowed as well. And then we had the granted powers. So again, like for Saloon, for example, we would have specialty priests of Saloon may turn undead, as can their clerical counterparts. Specialty priests of Saloon are gifted with infravision, 30-foot range. Specialty priests of Saloon have the navigation proficiency at the start. This does not occupy an initial proficiency slot and can be increased in the normal fashion. Specialty priests are not immune to lycanthropy. If infected by a lycanthrope, however, and that lycanthrope's alignment is the same as the infected priest's, or the priest's alignment, or the priest changes alignment to match the lycanthrope with all attendant penalties, then the specialty priest can control the transformation at will as a natural rather than infected lycanthrope. So there you go. That's a bit of a twist on lycanthropy. For the priests of Saloon, specialty priests of Saloon, they can kind of control it a little bit more. So yeah, so I mean the specialty priests, I mean, I remember they had the... You still had your standard clerics, obviously, in second edition, where they were kind of like the general rank and file, and they went by the basic rules for the cleric class. But then you had all these specialty priests, which gave all of these sort of different granted powers and customized the weapons and the armor and the spells that they could cast and all that kind of stuff. So I found this to be fascinating, and I absolutely loved it back when this book came out, The Forgotten Realms Adventures. And for pretty much my entire run of second edition AD&D and in the third edition Dungeons and Dragons, I did all of this stuff. I had custom clerics and all of that wonderful detailed kind of thing. Now, what I think it's really cool, and there's been very few campaigns I've run since second edition where I don't do that. So that's where I'd be interested in hearing from you folks. My good listenership, what you folks think of specialty priests? Do you enjoy specialty priests? Do you like having individual classes, essentially, for the different deities in your campaign? There are a lot of advantages to it. You can get a lot of flavor packed into those character classes by doing that. But it's a little bit more fiddly, and you got to come up with some more rules, and you got to be more creative and all that kind of stuff as well, right? So yeah, I mean, I dig the custom classes. I'm working on it for my new campaign, my BX Gloomberg campaign. It's basic expert essentials. Gavin Norman's wonderful clone of the basic expert Moldvay Cook rules. I'm slowly doing some work on that. It probably won't be as detailed as something like the second edition Forgotten Realms Adventures book with that many differences between the different priests, but I'm going to go down that road a little bit. So yeah, customized clerics, yay or nay? Do you like to customize them a little bit? Do you prefer the sort of generic only Hammer Horror Theater pseudo-Christian kind of cleric from old school D&D? How do you like your clerics? Do you even use clerics? I know a lot of guys don't even like to use the cleric class because they think it's dumb, or they just prefer kind of an old Appendix N kind of attitude where you've just got kind of your magic and your sorcery and your warriors and, you know, maybe your rogue type characters, but there are no priests, right? Because there weren't really those types of characters in a lot of sword and sorcery pulp fiction, but that's a whole other subject. But at any rate, I think we'll stop there. Once again, I'd like to remind our listenership that the Dice Roll Zine Ramblecast is completely 100% unofficially sponsored by Nickel Brook Breweries. Always fresh, small batch, Nickel Brook Breweries, based in Burlington, Ontario. They have a good selection of India Pale Ales and other beers for your drinking pleasure. I'm enjoying a Headstock India Pale Ale tonight. I think I've talked about this on the podcast before. And if anyone from Nickel Brook Breweries should ever hear this, feel free to send me some. I'm pimping your shit for you. Thanks.